We contact specialists, don't we, for help with maybe the car or the boiler, any particular thing going on in our house. I know when I, a couple of years ago now, came home one day and there was a whole load of white stuff all over the kitchen floor. And I thought, has Sky got something out of the cupboard? It was just all over the floor like a carpet. And then I looked up, and it was a plaster on the ceiling. And so at the back of the house, it's like a flat roof. And so obviously the roof had just, allowed water to come through, and the plaster had come down. So immediately I had to get in touch with a specialist to say, please come and help me, because I thought I can't do anything until I've got that roof secured again, and then I can get on with the other stuff. And I'm still waiting for the decorating, because it was a pandemic and everything. But anyway, I know it's secure because he did a super job with the roof. And we also seek help from the doctor, don't we, when we feel that something's not right with our health. We're alerted by things not working how they should. And when we have symptoms in our body that we realise, perhaps we need attention for it. So we act on it, don't we? We've heard in this gospel reading today about many people from all backgrounds looking for and questioning John the Baptist for direction for their lives. So let's pray as we think about this passage. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for being able to meet together today. Lord, we thank you that you are in this place, and we just ask our living Lord to just speak to us, to meet us where we are, and to speak into our lives. We pray for your living word to give us direction, to give us certainty, and to give us security that you want us to have as your children. So we pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the time of Jesus, there was so much political and social unrest. I'll give a pregnant pause there. Political and social unrest. And many were wanting to know more about this supposed Messiah who was going to come and sort everything out. These searching people were aware that they needed help, which didn't come from wealth or social status. However, John doesn't mince his words. He's effectively saying, walk the talk. Don't just say sorry and then keep doing the same wrong thing. Produce fruit. He wants to see actions on your repentance, on saying sorry, and wanting to make things better. Produce fruit. And also, he alerts people to their pride. There are people who think, oh, well, we're Abraham's children, we've got it made, we're God's people, and he'll look after us. And whatever we do wrong, he'll just look over that. But no, Abraham actually plays with a word. John plays with a word. The word for children and the word for stones is very similar. And he says, even the stones can be made Abraham's children. So that was really putting him in the place, that they were being compared with stones. And do you remember when Jesus came in, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, and people were saying, oh, you shouldn't be allowing these people to praise you and glorify you. And he said, if they kept quiet, even the stones, the very stones, will raise up and praise me. So it just reminded me as I was reading that. So John is giving a very severe, warning here. He's saying that the judgment is for all. There's no exceptions. Nobody can hide behind anyone or anything. We're all exposed before the judgment of God. Talks that the picture there of an axe at the root of the tree. But it's good to note that it's not actually done the deed yet. The axe is poised. So it's a warning, isn't it? It's a warning to say, look, let's really stop and let's just listen to God and let's just reevaluate our lives. So John was saying that to all who came to him. He was saying, share what you have. There are people there. He gave the example, if you've got two tunics, under their clothing, it was common for men to have a sort of an under, like an underdress under their outer clothing. And quite often they'd have two on to keep them warm, or, you know, they'd have a spare one at home for when they needed another one. And John is saying, if you've got two, and you know someone who hasn't got anything, give him the one that you've got spare. And that can apply to anything, to all that we have. And he's saying to the people, live and work with integrity. The tax collectors, he wasn't saying that they had to give up their job, but he was saying, don't abuse what you do. Don't take people for advantage and take more from them than you should. And then to the soldiers, he was saying, don't abuse your authority or your position of power. And that can be for all of us in whatever position we might be in of authority or power, where we have authority over other people, or where we have any sense of power over people. We must really use that wisely and fairly and with integrity. And then there's an important word as well. John says, be content with your pay. But I think that be content, again, applies to our general life. We know so many celebrities, don't we? So many people we may know personally who seem to have everything. Great family, great, you know, money, great job. And yet they still are searching. And that is true. And this is what John the Baptist was saying to the people who came to him. Whatever situation they were in, I know you're still searching. You need to meet with the holy God, the holy living God, who wants to wash you. It might involve a bit of breaking. You know that lovely song about breaking, melting and moulding. And that's what God wants to do with each of us. It may be a bit painful. It may be challenging. But God wants to remould us and to wash us and help us to start again. And because he speaks with such authority, and people come to him and they know that he's speaking the truth, some people are even thinking, is this the Messiah? Is this who we're waiting for? And John is aware, John the Baptist is aware of this suspicion. And he completely and immediately says, no, I'm just preparing the way. I'm pointing you to the one who is to come. And when he baptizes Jesus, we remember that he said, oh, I can't baptize you. But Jesus said, let us fulfill what is written in Scripture. And John the Baptist baptizes him, and the dove comes, and the voice of the Father said, this is my Son. This is the anointed one. This is the one that you've all been waiting for. And John the Baptist goes on to say, I'm not even worthy to undo his sandals. It's a bit of a strange thing to say that, isn't it? But in those times, the people who were the teachers, they would have all their disciples following them and learning from them. And they would allow, because of their authority, their spiritual authority, they would allow their disciples to do pretty much anything for them, make their meals, you know, make sure that when they go ahead, the way's prepared for them, they've got somewhere good to sit, you know, just taking care of them. But there's one thing that in their culture, the scribe would say, you don't have to do anything with my feet or my sandals. That's going beyond. I'll sort that out. And that's why John the Baptist says, I am not even worthy to untie his shoes. Jesus is so special. He's so the Holy Son of God. And so they would have known what he meant when he said, I'm not even worthy. Even as his disciple, I'm not worthy to undo his sandals. John the Baptist goes on to say, I baptize you with water. I'm just giving you a bath. It's just a symbol for you to acknowledge that you are unclean, that you do need to change, and that with the help of God, you can be made clean. But it's just a symbol with the water. But he said, the Messiah who's going to come, he's going to baptize you with fire and with the Holy Spirit. So fire, not literally, but fire, that again, a symbol of cleansing. And also, I'm just going to get my saw. On my stole, I've got the flames here, which a youth on Pentecost, when we remember when the Holy Spirit comes. And these flames are just a symbol of God's Holy Spirit, of the work that he does in our lives, of cleansing us and of filling us and enabling us. And so he also says that be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that sense that, yes, John wants us to walk the talk, but not in our own strength. We do it with God's help. When the Holy Spirit fills our lives, he equips us and enables us to both hear God's voice and to have the awareness of what God wants to change in our lives, and to enable us to have the strength and the courage and the trust to allow God to do that work in our lives. So all this is good news. It's interesting, isn't it, how it ends by saying, with all that judgment, with all that, you know, walk the talk and behave yourselves, it finishes saying, and with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. And why is it good news? Good news because we look around us, we look around our world, and we know that we are in a mess without God. But Jesus has the good news. Jesus has the answer. And so that's why it's the good news, that when we're cleansed, when we ask the Lord Jesus, when we say sorry for what we've done, and we ask him to come into our lives and to change us and to give us a new hope and a new future, that is the good news that the Lord Jesus brings. Sin has to be dealt with. It can't be brushed under the carpet. God is holy and can't ignore sin, but in his love and mercy has provided the way to deal with that sin. In the first letter of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 1, it says, "Wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath." So remember that axe at the root of the tree? Jesus wants to rescue us from being chopped down. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. And it goes on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord." So it's God's desire for us to be saved and to be restored. So as I said at the beginning, do we recognise the setting of political and social unrest? We have it around us today, don't we? Who do we go to for advice, for direction for our lives? Who is our mentor? And who has the answers? Well, I want to say, along with John the Baptist, that the Lord Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is before all time, and he's been to live amongst us, and he's coming again to take his rightful place in his kingdom. Amen.